Morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our service of worship today by singing together the Psalm number 1. It's the first psalm really in our order of service. What man of perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. And great words of truth here, and great words of encouragement for us here, even to live for the Lord in these days in which we live. We'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise. Well, as we mentioned last Lord's Day, if there's anyone you cannot stand because of health reasons, well, you just feel free to remain seated and to make yourself comfortable while we sing. But we'll stand as we sing, as the psalmist leads us in our praise, please. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord afresh today, praying for God's help and blessing, and that we'll know His nearness in our midst today. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do still our hearts before Thee, O God, this Sabbath morning, and we come to Thee, no merit of our own, we realize in and of ourselves with nothing to offer Thee. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today for that acceptance that we have through Christ, our Mediator, through Him who was without sin, Him who died for us upon the cross and shed His blood and rose again victorious the third day. We thank Thee, O God, that we are accepted in the beloved Son of God today. And Father, we thank Thee today that Christ is the one who is without blemish. We thank Thee, O God, that He is the altogether lovely One. O Lord, Thy word tells us that He did no sin, He knew no sin, He could do no sin. And O God, we thank Thee that Thou didst speak from heaven and didst say, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And O God, we thank that He Himself could say, "I do always those things that please the Father." And Father, we thank Thee that in the fullness, O God, of Thy time He came. He was born in Bethlehem. And Father, we thank Thee that He walked amongst men. He traversed the scene of time. We thank Thee, O God, that He is a sympathizing Savior, one who knows our needs, one who knows our every care. And Father, we thank Thee that He set His face, as it were, like a flint, to go to the cross of Calvary and to suffer and bleed and die for our redemption. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the precious blood of Christ that He shed freely upon that cross. And Father, we thank Thee today that there's remission, there is pardon for all of our sins through the blood of Christ and through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that blood that Jesus shed freely upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee for the great truth of the gospel today, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, today for each and every one in this gathering who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who can rejoice in the joy of sins forgiven through the blood of Christ. For all who know and trust the Lord for salvation today, we give Thee thanks and praise for Thy saving grace and for Thy keeping power. And, O God, as we come to Thee this day in praise and in worship and in prayer, we pray that Thou would just bless our coming together here in Thy house, O God. We pray, Lord, that we might know a real sense of the presence of God with us. It is Thy presence that makes the feast. Take our eyes off ourselves, off our circumstances, off the world around us, and do fix our eyes today and our hearts and minds upon the Lord. We think of those of old who said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And Lord, that would be the desire of our heart today, that we might see the Lord high and lifted up, that we might ever be found looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. O Lord, Thy word tells us that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. We thank Thee for all who have been able to come and gather with us here today. Do bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Do bless every family and household, O God, that is represented. We pray that Thou would bless every believer, every child of Thine. We pray that Thou would encourage Thy people, that Thou would strengthen Thy people. Lead every believer onward and heavenward. Help us, Lord, to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Help us to die to self, to die to sin. And help us, Lord, by Thy grace and power in our daily lives, O Lord, to live for Thee, to live for Thine honor and for Thy glory. For any, Lord, going through times of testing and trial and difficulty, we pray that Thou wilt be their rock and their refuge at this time, we pray. We thank the Lord that there's grace sufficient for our every need and our every circumstance and life. For any, Lord, with us today, maybe cold at heart, maybe walking afar from the Lord, may they know Thy restoring touch in their heart and in their soul. For others going through times of decision, we pray that Thou would lead them and guide them in accordance with the counsel of Thy word and of Thy will. And Father, for any with us today, old or young, not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, may they realize their great need that they must be born again. And O God, we pray that even today they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord and trust Him as their own and personal Savior, that they would go out of this meeting today saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and have that great assurance that all is well with their soul for time and for eternity. We thank Thee that salvation is of the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast said in Thy word that whosoever will may come. And Father, we pray that even such today may look to Christ and be saved, even unto life eternal and life evermore. We think of those that cannot be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou, Lord, will minister to them, strengthen them in their body, bless them in their heart and in their soul, and meet their every need, O God, we pray. And for those that have suffered loss in recent times, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts and be unto them all that they would need and require. And fill, Lord, the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord, we pray. For others, Lord, that would attend the bed of sickness today also, may they know the help and the grace of the Lord in their time of need, we pray. Father, we bring before Thee all our homes and our families. We pray that the blessing of the Lord will be upon each one. Thou would unite our family circles in the Lord, we ask. and that, Lord, we might see them safely gathered in to the family and to the fold of God in grace and in mercy, we pray. Father, again, we thank Thee for our Sabbath school and Bible class this morning. Bless the teachers, bless the ministry amongst our children and our young people. May they be saved and grow up to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord. We thank Thee also, Lord, for the open-air witness and Friday morning past, and for all who heard Your word and the tracts given out. And Father, we pray that there'll be fruit from this. Remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade as well. May Your hand of mercy and of blessing be upon this, Lord, even in the days that lie ahead, that many children will hear the gospel, many will come to know the Lord as Savior, and bless all involved, we do pray of Thee. Bless every outreach from this congregation, we pray. And again, Lord, we give Thee thanks for the gospel booklet that has been out in recent times to the homes of Fermanagh. And Father, we pray that through the printed page that Thou wilt speak, that Thou wilt bless, that Thou, Lord, will save. Bless our land, O God, today, we pray. Remember all our sister congregations. Bless every minister, every student, every layman, Lord, who will preach Thy word. And remember, O God, in mercy, our missionaries at this time, at home and abroad. Lord, those who may be far from home, bless them and encourage them and minister to them by the grace and favor of the Lord. Father, have mercy upon our land at this time. Be pleased to stay this pandemic, we pray. And we pray that even in this, that people will realize their need of God, their need to turn to the Lord. Now we pray, O God, for those that rule in our land, that they might rule in righteousness and in accordance with Thy word and in the fear of the Lord. Do bring to naught the plans, the schemes of evil and ungodly men. And Father, we pray for our royal family, that Thou wilt have mercy, Lord, upon them, and that the light of Thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into that household, O God, we pray. Father, we're looking, O God, to Thee to bless us. We thank Thee that Thou art the God of revival. And Lord, as Thou hast come in former times, we pray that Thou wilt even come again to our land. And Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. Bless our time together around Thy word. Now bless the singing of Thy praises. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised to bless those that walk in the ways of the Lord. Help us to be a people who delight in the Lord, who delight in the ways and in the word of God. And may we know that prospering that comes from the Lord, that spiritual prospering, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good, and in everything that is said and done, glorify the Savior. For it is in His precious and worthy name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. And we're going to turn, please, in God's Word this morning to the book of the Psalms, Psalm number 31, for our first scripture reading. Returning to Psalm number 31, we want to read the first 6 verses of that psalm, and then we're turning back, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're reading from verse 12 of that chapter, and just going down to the end of the verse number 22. So you'd like to mark those two passages of Scripture in your Bible, reading first of all from Psalm 31, and then turning back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, breaking into the chapter there at the verse number 12. We're reading first of all from Psalm 31, the opening verses of the psalm here. We have David seeking the Lord for help in his time of need. And Psalm 31 and verse 1, he says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me, and deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. Into Thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord." And then turning back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, just back a few books from the Psalms there to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Beginning our reading at the verse number 12, here we have King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, before the Lord in prayer in a time of great need. And he says in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 22. And our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our service, I want to bid everyone this Lord's Day morning a very warm word of welcome. In the Savior's name, it's good to see each one gathered with us here today. And we bid you all a very warm word of welcome in the name of the Lord. Indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome also. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. We'll trust that you'll feel at home, yet you'll know the blessing of the Lord as you gather with us today in your heart and soul around the Word of God. If you're a believer today, may you be encouraged and strengthened. And if you're not saved, our prayer is that even today you'll come in faith and in repentance and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. We also welcome those who may be viewing online, whoever you are today, wherever you are also today. Thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you and bless his word to your heart and soul today. Now, the announcements for the week are as follows. Do you remember, please, the gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be long to bring God's word. And that will be preceded by the half hour of prayer meeting in the prayer room at the rear there at 6:30. And we encourage you, if at all possible, to gather for prayer. There's a number of seats out there, and when those are filled, well, the prayer room is filled. But there's a number of seats out there, and it's good to see so many gathering for the times of prayer before the meeting. So do remember that, the gospel meeting at 7, and I belong to bring God's word. We encourage you to come and join with us again tonight. Young and old alike, we'll be delighted to see you. Pray for the meeting, make it known, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night here in our church, 8 o'clock, is our normal midweek prayer meeting night, and it will be a special missionary night meeting. And God willing, our brother Mr. Donald Fleming will be with us from Faith in Action, and he'll be here to preach and report also in God's work out in eastern Ukraine, out in the eastern part of Europe. You're hearing about that in the news and the trouble and the war that's going on there. But in the midst of all that is going on there, God is working, God is blessing, and God is saving. And our brother will be coming to give an update and report on that work. There'll be a slide presentation as well, and then there'll be a retiring offering for that work. So do remember that, please. He's been with us in the past, and we've always been blessed through our brother's ministry. That's on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. That'll also be followed just by a short meeting of the church session at 9:30. Ask the members of session just to remember that also, please. Friday night, 8 p.m., is a youth fellowship evening. It's an evening of fellowship for the young people. Encourage as many as possible of the young people to gather. It's really from P7 and upwards, really the final meeting before the Christmas break. And trust as many as possible will gather on Friday night at 8 p.m. for that, please. Next Lord's Day, the 19th of December, Sabbath school and Bible class at 11 a.m., the morning worship service, 12 noon, and then the evening service at 7 p.m., and both services preceded by the hour of prayer, and we'll be along to bring God's Word at both meetings. And do please note that next Lord's Day evening, Sunday evening, is our annual carol service. There's wee invites for that out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those and give them out. Encourage family members and friends and relatives, neighbors, work colleagues, whatever, in under the sound of God's Word. The Sabbath School Youth Fellowship will be taking part. Raymond and Jenny will be singing. We'll be bringing God's Word and singing some seasonal carols. So do remember that. Pray for it. And do make it a special outreach next week to gather friends and family in under the sound of God's Word. Friday night, the 31st of December at 11 p.m. is our annual watch night service as we end 1 year, begin a new year in the will of the Lord. That meeting just lasts for about an hour and 5 or 10 minutes, generally over shortly after midnight. But do keep that night free and plan to join with us for that special service. Can I just remind you there to let the Bible speak calendars? Do take those as you leave. And there's also the Way of Life calendars there. Those are free. We encourage you to take those, give them out to your neighborhood or whatever. Take as many as you wish. It's a great way of getting God's Word into homes in these days. There's also the order sheet there for the singing CD and DVD by our brother, Mr. Sam Houston. If you want to order one of those, do put your name on that sheet, as that order sheet will probably be going in tomorrow. So remember that, please. The Let the Bible Speak and the Vision magazines are available. And there's also prayer letters there on the tables in the porch from our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, who labours with the boys and girls in County Down. So those are really all by way of necessary announcements, all subject to the will of the Lord. But we're going to turn again to hymn number 107. It's the second hymn just in our hymn sheet. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear there as you leave. You'll find those there. But we'll just keep our seats while we sing this hymn. It's a lovely old hymn. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Help me, dear Saviour, thee to own, and ever faithful be. And when thou sittest on thy throne, O Lord, remember me. We'll keep our seats while we sing hymn 107.
Oh,
We're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. We're turning in God's Word to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And with God's Word open before us, perhaps we can just bow together in a short word of prayer. Do we pray that the Lord will draw near, give help, and minister His Word as He alone sees our need today by His Spirit to our hearts and souls. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting today, for the reading of Your Word and the singing of Thy praises. And we thank Thee for one who suffered and bled and died for us upon the cross. Help us each one to own the Savior, to be ever faithful to the Savior, and to tell of that Savior and what He has done for us. Lord, bless us now, we pray, as we come to Thy Word to think upon it, to meditate upon it. Lord, may Thy Word find a resting place upon every heart and in every soul in this meeting house today. Bless Your people. May Thy Word be used to the strengthening and the encouragement of every child of God in this meeting house. Lord, for any in the gathering today not saved, may Thy Word be used to awaken them, to come in faith and in repentance to Christ, to flee from the wrath to come. And in all that is said and done, we pray that Christ will be exalted, that man would be hidden far behind the cross. To this end, fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Give right words, and give words directly, Lord, from Yourself. We pray for liberty, clarity, plainness, simplicity, Lord, of speech. And let the Word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us. We ask it all for Jesus' sake and praise. Amen. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture that we want really to base our message upon today really just consists of six words. And you'll find those six words in the middle part of verse number 20 of 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. They are these words in the middle of the verse where it says, "Believe in the Lord your God." Believe in the Lord your God. Now, over in the third epistle of John, there we find John addressing a particular individual by the name of Gaius. And as he speaks to that individual, he says these words. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Obviously, that particular character was a believer going on with the Lord, prospering in the things of God. And John's prayer and burden for that individual was that as they were prospering and advancing spiritually, so they would also grow, prosper in their health physically at that particular time. Yes, he desired that this person's health would prosper even as their soul was prospering in the things of God. And that was a good burden, a good prayer, a good desire of John, something we would all do well to follow in our desires just for the physical well-beings of those that are in times of need. Now, this matter, dear people, of soul prosperity in the things of God and in the Christian faith, we can say is God's will for all of His people and for all of His church. And reference is made here to this vital matter here in verse 20, where our text is to be found today in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where it says, "Believe in the Lord your God." And then at the end of the verse, we can add these words. It says, "So shall ye prosper." Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye prosper. It speaks there of the matter of prospering in one's faith and one's walk with God. In this chapter here before us, the background is a time whenever there was a confederacy of armies and enemies coming to attack the people of Judah. And this imminent threat, it leads Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, to call the people of Judah to fasting and to prayer. And in answer to the prayers, the Lord promises Jehoshaphat victory over their enemies. Look at that promise in verse 17 of the chapter. Notice the message from God about this. It says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still,
and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What a promise of victory. The Lord will be with you. You'll not need to fight. The Lord will give victory over the host of the enemy. And with this great promise from the Lord, we see then how Jehoshaphat the king encourages Judah to trust the Lord at this time for help, for power, for blessing, for victory. And this call to faith in the Lord is found here in our text today in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20, where he says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." My, there was this call here to trust the Lord. And my faith in the Lord, yes, was to ensure them victory over their enemies at that time. It was also to ensure them a spiritual prospering, a spiritual prosperity among the people of Judah at that particular time. People today in our meeting, let me say it is this matter of a prosperous faith that I want us to look at and to think about today. It says here in our text, "Believe in the Lord, so shall ye prosper." Think of those words for a moment. Believer, as you and I consider those words, can we say in answer to the words of our text, can we say, yes, our faith is prospering today? Can we say, yes, our faith is growing today? Can we say, yes, that our faith is advancing? Is there that going forward, that advancement in our faith and in the things of God in our life? How important this is. It's highlighting the importance of faith in the Christian life. Thomas Watson, one of the Puritan preachers, said, "Faith is the conquering grace upon earth." One of the great hymns in our hymn book that we often love to sing highlights this very note, for it says, "Faith is the victory, O glorious victory, that overcomes the world." And our text here today says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye prosper." And as we would think then upon these words, there are three things I want us just to note regarding a prosperous faith, a faith that prospers. First of all, note with me the object of a prosperous faith. Our text says, "Believe in the Lord your God." And my, a prosperous faith is a faith that is centered upon God in Christ. You see, it is only by faith in Christ as Savior that the Lord can bless us. It is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that God can help us. It is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that God can take pleasure in us and can be gracious unto us as individual people in this life. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ made that absolutely clear when he spoke to Thomas and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you are to taste and see that the Lord is good, then as a repentant sinner, you must turn from your sin and turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. Trust in His blood and sacrifice alone for the forgiveness of all your sin and the salvation of your eternal, never-dying soul. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "For he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification." You and I can only be saved from our sin, right with God, reconciled with God, justified and pardoned through faith in Christ and his atoning death and sacrifice for sinners upon the cross. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his blood. And it says, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." And my, our sins can only be forgiven by the blood of Christ, by having the blood of Christ applied by faith to our hearts. The hymn writer says, "What can wash away my sin Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Dear friend, in our meeting today on Save, let me say this. Christ alone is the one that you must trust in, that you must put your faith in for salvation. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ must be the object of your faith. Can you say with the hymn writer today, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Oh yes, at the very outset this morning we say, yes, a prosperous faith is centered upon God and Christ. Tell me today, is that where your faith is centered upon? Is that who your faith is focused upon? God and Christ? Are you resting, trusting in Christ today as Savior, as Redeemer? And then having trusted Christ as Savior, our faith, yes, prospers as we trust in His Word and rest upon His Word as Christians. Look at the emphasis of this. And in the latter part of verse 20 there, it says, believe on the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. The prophets, who were they? What were they? In Bible times, they were the messengers of God's Word. They were those who preached, who proclaimed, who taught the Word of God to the people. And the thought is here not just to trust the messenger, but to trust the message that they bring, to rest upon the Word of God. And our faith, dear people, when we're saved as Christians, will prosper as we trust more and more and lean more and more upon the Word of God in our lives. That's how it was with the Apostle Paul. You remember him on the journey in the ship towards Rome. There was a great storm. And many of the hardened sailors on that ship thought that they were going to perish and drown in the storm. But God had given Paul a promise, a word from the Lord that all would be safe. And my Paul, he rested upon that promise and he said this. He says, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He depended upon the Word of God. You and I also, we are to do the same. Also, we can say further that our faith will prosper when as believers we trust and rest upon the Lord's presence with us, when we believe in His presence with us and around about us in our life as Christians. Turn with your Bible back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, and look at verse number 15. And here was a promise that the Lord gave to Jacob at a time of great need in his life. And it was the promise of the Lord's presence. What a promise it is to God's people, not just to Jacob, but to you and I who are saved in this meeting house today. Genesis 28, verse 15. The Lord is speaking here to Jacob, speaking to you and I also who are saved, who are Christians in the meeting. And He says, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. The Lord says, behold, I am with thee. Again, what was the promise given in verse 17 of 2 Chronicles to Jehoshaphat and Judah? It was this, for the Lord will be with you. And people, our faith will prosper as we lean upon the presence of the Lord with us in all of life's circumstances, in all of life's situations. And then we can say further that our faith as God's children, as Christians, will further prosper when we rest more and more upon God's power for victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and indwelling sin in our lives as God's people. In Ephesians chapter 3, in the verse number 20, Paul speaks of the Lord there, and he says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, we are more than conquerors through Him. And my, by leaning upon the Lord's power, we can know help to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, that old and sinful nature, old indwelling sin in our hearts as God's people. Then our faith also will prosper when we learn as Christians to trust in God's providence in our lives. David could say, as for God, his way is perfect. And as believers, we must trust the Lord even when we cannot trace the Lord, even when we cannot understand, as it were, his ways and his dealings with us. And then also our faith will grow when we learn to rely more and more upon God's faithfulness in our lives. Remember this, believer, that the Bible says that God is faithful. That is something that pertains to God that cannot change. God is faithful. And this means, yes, a growing realization and assurance that God is always faithful to his people. The psalmist speaks of the Lord and says, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Think of that, such as the greatness and the immensity and the largeness of the faithfulness of God to his people. And David says, it reacheth unto the clouds. Indeed, his faithfulness is as great mountains of goodness to his people. That was something that Jeremiah rejoiced in and confided in. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, he said this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Jeremiah had an eye to the faithfulness of God. And Christian, remember this in life. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what happens, what comes your way, that God is faithful. And the faithfulness of God to you and to all of his believing people, it will not change. It cannot change, because the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. Oh yes, we see here the object of a prosperous faith. But not only the object of a prosperous faith. Notice secondly here the season. When a prosperous faith is exercised, the season, whenever a prosperous faith is exercised, well, we can say in answer to that the faithful child of God must trust the Lord for victory. When others would oppose him, indeed when others would rise up against him, this was the case with Jehoshaphat at this particular time. Look at what is said there in verse 1 of the chapter, in verse number 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Says in verse 1, and came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, notice it, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Look again at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. Notice it, that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. It was this great multitude against Jehoshaphat and against the people of Judah at this time. And that was the time for Jehoshaphat and Judah to exercise their faith in the Lord. The psalmist could say, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And believer, let me say this today. When others would oppose you and mock you and hinder you as you seek to live the Christian life and seek to live for Christ and serve the Lord, trust in the Lord. Look to him for victory and deliverance in that time of opposition. Think of the example of Micah of old. He could say, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. We can say further this morning that the faithful Christian must also trust the Lord for victory. Whenever Satan attacks and tempts to sin and causes worry and distress, and that's the work of Satan against God's people, to tempt us to sin, to cause us to worry and to be filled with distress. Peter warned the Christians of that very fact when he warned them of the attack of the devil, the adversary against them. And then he goes on and he says this in 1 Peter 5 verse 9, he says, whom resists steadfast in the faith? Believer, whenever Satan attacks you, pray. Pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you overcome the schemes and the wiles and the temptations of the evil one. Yes, Satan to Jesus must bow. Think of what the Lord said to Peter whenever the attack of Satan was upon Simon Peter. He said these words to Peter. He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Again, the hymn writer says, we never need be vanquished. Though waging war with Satan, Temptations will beset us, but in the name of Jesus, we must prevail. By a prosperous faith is exercised when the believer is opposed for the faithful witness for Christ. A prosperous faith, yes, is exercised when the faithful Christian is attacked by the evil one. But then we can say further that the faithful believer must trust the Lord for victory when there are doubts and fears surrounding God's will, indeed God's service for their own lives as Christians. You remember the disciples, they were saved. They were called of the Lord to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord. Yet you read in the scriptures of a time when they were filled with fear. They were filled with doubt and with forebodings about the future and about their needs in life. And the Lord, He assured them that He would supply their every need. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." O believer, let me ask you this morning, are you fearful? Fearful today about your future? Is your heart today filled perhaps with forebodings and fears about the future and your needs? Well, believer, you can trust the Lord. Trust the Lord to order. Trust the Lord to provide. David could say, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." In Psalm 37, verse 25, he testifies and he says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." He knew the Lord meeting his need. Yes, we see the object of a prosperous faith. We see the season when a prosperous faith is exercised. But notice one final thought in connection with our text today. Notice the fruit of a prosperous faith. What is the fruit? What is the outcome? Well, you'll see that, as it were, outlined for us in this chapter before us. In this chapter before us, we see how Judah experienced the Lord's deliverance from their enemies at this time. Look at verse 22 and verse 24 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 22, it says, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." Verse 24, "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." God gave them a great deliverance at that time from their enemies. Likewise, believer, by trusting in the Lord, we too can know victory. Victory over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. The psalmist says, "True God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies." Also, by trusting the Lord at this particular time, you'll see that Judah was to experience the Lord's abundant provision. Look at verse number 25 of the chapter. It says, "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil." It was so much. There was an abundance of spoil for them left by the enemy. It was so much it took them 3 days, as it were, to gather in the spoil. God abundantly supplied and met their needs. Believer, when you trust the Lord in your time of need, you too will know God's abundant supply. You remember what Paul said to the believers in the church at Philippi? He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The hymn writer says, "Every need His hand supplying, every good in Him I see, on His strength divine relying, He is all and all to me." One of the great titles of the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Also, by trusting the Lord in their time of need, you'll see here that Judah was to know great joy. At the beginning of the chapter, you read of distress, but God has intervened, and there's now great joy near the end of the chapter. Look at verse 27, verse 28 of the chapter. It says, "Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem. Notice it, with joy. The Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. There's that coming again to God's house with joy and jubilation and thanksgiving. And it is the Lord who has given them this joy. Likewise, believer, by faith in the Lord, you too will know joy. Joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. You know that joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Bible talks about when we trust in the Lord in our times of need. Also, by trusting the Lord in their time of need, you see something else here, that Judah was kept from pride. They were kept from the sin of pride, and they were kept humble before the Lord. Look at verse 18 of the chapter. It says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." There was this humility of heart before the Lord. And believer, by trusting in the Lord in our time of need, we too will be kept from the awful sin of pride. Yes, we'll be kept lowly at the Savior's feet. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, "He have showed thee, O man, what is good. What did the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And you remember Mary of old. She was at that humble place at the feet of Christ in the Gospels. The Lord commended her, said, "She have chosen that good portion, that blessed portion." Believer, that's where the Lord wants you and I to be. Oh, that the Lord would ever save us from pride, getting puffed up in ourselves and our own, as it were, invention, so to speak, as God's people. That we'd be kept lowly at the feet of Christ. Also, by trusting in the Lord in their time of need, you'll see here that Judah was to be a witness for the Lord amongst the ungodly at this time. Look at verse 29. It says, "And the fear of God was in all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." There was a witness. It's the ungodly nations around them. And Christian, it's through the life of faith also that you and I can bear witness for Christ in this ungodly, in this evil world. That's how it was with Moses, the servant of God, even down in that wicked place, Egypt. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And by faith, Moses was a witness for the Lord, even in the very court of Pharaoh itself. He bore witness to the Lord. And it's by us looking to the Lord, depending upon the Lord, you and I in our homes, in our workplaces, in the communities where we live, can be a witness for the Lord. Then something else here to note. By faith in the Lord, Judah was to know peace. The chapter begins with war, with fear, with threat from the enemy. But it ends with God's peace. Look at verse 30 there of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." God gave him rest, peace, security. And believer, by trusting in the Lord in the battles of life, you and I can know, the Bible says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking to the Lord, and he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." The Lord gives peace to those who trust him. In the book of Job is speaking about the Lord. And this is what it says in Job 34, verse 29 of the Lord. It says, "When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? My none can disturb the peace that God gives to his people, even in the storms and in the battles of life. When he giveth rest, who then can make trouble?" You remember the disciples in the boat in Galilee, a great storm got up. And they sought the Lord's help. They trusted the Lord, even though they were fearful. And the Lord said, "Peace, be still." And what does the Bible say? There was a great calm. The sea was as still as glass. The Lord had given that calm. The Lord had given that peace. Believer, is there a battle raging in your life and life circumstances today? Bring it to the Lord.
And you can know that peace of God that passeth all understanding. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Thee. He is the one that gives peace in the storms of life and the battles of life. Oh, child of God, the life of faith, it means abundant life. That's what it means. It means a blessed life. No life like it. It means a victorious life. It's the life of victory. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There's victory for you and I through Christ, not through ourselves, but through Christ, our all in all, our Alpha and the Omega of our salvation. My preaching upon this very text that we're looking at today, Charles Simeon, a faithful preacher in the Church of England of a bygone day, he said these words. He says, live then by faith on the Son of God. So shall you derive from Him all needful supplies of grace and progressively advance both in the enjoyment of His presence and a meetness for His glory. And it's by the life of faith that you and I can enjoy the presence of God in our lives. It's by the life of faith that you and I prepare ourselves for heaven. Prepare ourselves for glory. Let us then be those who pray daily that the Lord would increase our faith. Make that your prayer, Christian, day by day. Say, Lord, increase my faith. That was the prayer of the disciples. As you pray for your fellow Christian, as we pray for one another in our congregation, in the church here, pray that the Lord would increase our faith. What does our text say? It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. This is how to prosper in this life, in this world, in this scene of time. By believing in the Lord. And whenever our faith prospers, then the things that concern us will succeed to our wishes. Indeed, one has said, beyond our expectations. Oh, may our prayer be like the hymn writer said, O Savior, let us trust Thee evermore. Every moment on Thee call for new life, new will, new power. Let us trust Thee, Lord, for all. Believe in the Lord your God, believer today, Christian. And the promise is, so shall you prosper. The prospering comes from the Lord. It is of God. And my, it is the way to blessing, abundant life, and the life of victory here in this scene of time. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the final hymn in our order of service. It's 556 in our own hymn book. When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down His mighty hand and rolled the sea away. Then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will, though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we will push ahead, He'll roll the sea away. We'll stand as we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing them, and singing them with all of our heart. Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. Bless Thy word to our hearts. We thank Thee for this command, indeed this promise. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. O Lord, increase our faith as Thy people. Mean us away from self, from man, from the world, from every false prop of the flesh, as it were. Help us to lean upon the Lord. Help us to look to Thee day by day and depend upon Thee in every circumstance of life, in our home, in our workplace, and in Thy work, and in our service for God. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast promised that the just shall live by faith. For any, Lord, in our gathering today not saved, oh, may they come to that place of saving faith and saving trust in the Lord today. Thy word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Lord, may some soul look away to Christ today and be saved by thy grace for time and for eternity. Accept of our thanks. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. For we do pray and we do ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. There's one here. Turn in your heart and soul. I'll be glad to help you in any way. I'll be in no hurry away. I'm only glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who's mighty to see Him. Just remember as you leave, take your time and allow the church just to empty from the rear, pew by pew. We'll be going to the door there to greet you. We'll not be shaking hands, but just there to say hello to you and to thank you for coming. Thank you and God bless you.